This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening. We start off tonight's broadcast with a story that's almost too outrageous to believe. After Western Kentucky was hit with the worst tornado outbreak in its history, and one of the worst in American history, the Biden administration was quick to respond, but not in the way you might think. With the death toll hitting 100, dozens of injured and missing, grieving families are understandably vulnerable and desperate for relief. But what did the Biden regime do? Well, they sent FEMA, which arrived ready not to provide food, water, and blankets, but syringes filled with the experimental gene therapy known as the COVID vaccines. I'm going to read an excerpt from the Daily News break about a woman who experienced the FEMA response firsthand. The article describes FEMA setting up command centers in the hardest hit areas near a candle factory where 8 people died in the storm, and a block away from a subdivision where 70 homes had been obliterated. The article reads, and I quote, "A middle-aged woman in shredded clothes and her face encrusted in dried blood hobbled from the rubble and found her way to a FEMA relief station. An olive drab tent guarded by a pair of assault rifle-wielding FEMA agents. Her house, her life, she told them, was gone. Lost to the tornado. She had one arm wrapped around a banister and the other clutched her dog when the storm peeled away the roof. The swirling, howling winds yanked her canine companion from her grasp and it spun up into the vortex. Barely able to speak, she asked for water. Upon entering the tent, she spied a cooler. The nurse in the tent opened the cooler, which did not hold bottles of chilled water, but was filled from bottom to top with vials of COVID-19 vaccinations. Have you received your COVID-19 vaccinations and booster shot? The nurse asked, holding a syringe. There may be an outbreak in this area." End quote. That, ladies and gentlemen, has become the face of the U.S. government, armed to the teeth with assault rifles and syringes. True to form and in classic leftist cynicism, Joe Biden used the tragedy in Kentucky as a promotion tool for his leftist globalist agenda. In this case, it was climate change, as Biden immediately seized on the tragedy of a killer tornado to promote his ideological opinions about how the presence of too many humans going about daily life on planet Earth is causing the weather to turn violent. As though the world never experienced bad weather until his party declared a crisis of man-made climate change. But what do the American people believe about climate change? The acclaimed investigative reporter Cheryl Atkinson was curious about this question and decided to query her readers at CherylAtkinson.com. She polled 1,252 readers and found that they view climate change as a mostly, quote, made up, end quote, problem. About 67% said climate change as a problem is made up. A total of 4% view it as a, quote, somewhat, end quote, or, quote, very, end quote, urgent problem. In other news, the corporate media continues to pummel the American people with false narratives about climate change destroying the planet. And all vaccines are good, even experimental ones that were never tested for long-term effects. Guns are bad and seemingly kill people all by themselves. They refuse to cover the stories that don't line up with their preferred narratives. One such story is the mass killing spree that went down just last month in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The blood on the streets of Waukesha was barely dry, and the mainstream media packed up its bags and left the scene. Within a few days, you heard nothing more about it, and there were never any deep dives into the killer's background the way we have seen them do when the killer fits their racialized narrative. At this point, few Americans who depend solely on the mainstream media for their news probably don't even remember the name Darryl Brooks Jr. So who was he, and why did he plow his vehicle into a Christmas parade, killing at least six, including an 8-year-old boy named Jackson Sparks, and injuring more than 40 people? While most news outlets, even those calling themselves conservative, seem willing to let the story and the lives it destroyed swirl down the memory hole, we believe it's important not to forget those suffering families during this holiday Christmas season. The killer, Mr. Brooks, holds a wide range of extremist views, from calling for violence against white people to supporting the radical black Hebrew Israelites. In one of his rap songs, Brooks brags about being a, quote, terrorist, end quote, and a, quote, killer in the city, end quote. According to an article by Pedro Gonzalez on Substack, justice is not being served. The prosecutor, who set his bail inappropriately low, once bragged that people might die due to his policies. He also launched a secret investigation against conservative political opponents that the Wisconsin Supreme Court found unconstitutional. Gonzalez describes how after the incident, an utterly remorseless Brooks went to a stranger's house and pretended to be a homeless man pleading for help. Quote, the homeowner invited him in, gave him a jacket, and made him a sandwich before police arrested Brooks on his front porch, end quote. Gonzalez goes on to write, quote, along with much of the media, Waukesha Police Chief Daniel Thompson is essentially treating the incident as a mass casualty accident. Thompson, who's been reluctant to associate Brooks' political views with the attack, helped organize a Black Lives Matter march where his officers kneeled with and praised protesters last year, end quote. Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez, for reminding us of our broken justice system and not letting us forget about the toll that it continues to take on innocent American families. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all of your support. At MyPillow, we not only have pillows, but we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We're offering the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have this exclusive offer on the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. We also have the queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with your promo code. And we have the king size, regularly $89.98, now only $29.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer.
Welcome back to the Worldview Report. Does the federal government have a bounty on your life? If you should get diagnosed with COVID-19, it sure appears that way. According to a report by the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, hospitals across America have been fed government incentives to make sure you don't get the kind of life-saving early treatment advocated by renowned physicians like Dr. Peter McCullough or Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who successfully treated President Trump when he got COVID. Thanks to the CARES Act, which was passed by Congress in 2020 and signed into law by President Trump, hospitals can earn up to $100,000 per patient if they follow a certain regime advocated by the CDC and Dr. Fauci. That regime includes prescribing the experimental drug remdesivir and placing the patient on a ventilator. American Association of Physicians and Surgeons studied the protocols advised by the government and concluded the following, quote, the combination that enables this tragic and avoidable loss of hundreds of thousands of lives includes, one, the CARES Act, which provides hospitals with bonus incentive payments for all things related to COVID-19, testing diagnostics, admitting to hospital, use of remdesivir and ventilators, reporting COVID-19 deaths, and vaccination. And number two, waivers of customary and long-standing patient rights by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, end quote. For the record, we will now list for you each one of the itemized incentives offered to your local hospital. You may want to grab a pen and jot these down. The hospital payments include a free required PCR test in the emergency room or upon admission for every patient with government-paid fee to hospital. Next, added bonus payment for each positive COVID-19 diagnosis. Next, another bonus for a COVID-19 admission to the hospital. Next, a 20% boost bonus payment from Medicare on the entire hospital bill for use of remdesivir instead of medicines such as ivermectin. Next on our list, another larger bonus payment to the hospital if a COVID-19 patient is mechanically ventilated. And the next, more money to the hospital if cause of death is listed as COVID-19, even if the patient did not die directly of COVID-19. Next, COVID-19 diagnosis also provides extra payments to coroners. Is it any wonder that Dr. McCullough has estimated that between 85% and 90% of the deaths attributed to COVID could have been prevented? This will go down in history as an ethical, moral, and humanitarian stain on the American healthcare system writ large. As many of you know, Germany recently followed the lead of Austria and announced that it will soon mandate all of its citizens get the COVID shot, under penalty of law if they don't. It appears that vaccine mandates and vaccine passports aren't going to be accepted, lying down by at least one segment of the German population. That would be German farmers. We now have video footage showing an estimated 10,000 tractors sealing off the city of Berlin. Quote, "Now that's direct action," end quote. So wrote one blogger, quote, "Why can't we do this?" end quote. Good question. At some point, you have to wonder when the American sleeping giant will wake up, look around, and realize what's happening in Germany, Austria, France, Italy, Australia, and many other countries is the exact same plan already laid out for America. And in fact, it's already here in certain big cities like New York and San Francisco. Let's hope it's not too late. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. Let's take a look at what's happening in New York City under Mayor de Blasio's harsh vaccine mandates, which even target five-year-olds, barring them at the door of public facilities if their parents can't show proof the child has been injected with the experimental gene therapy. Check out this chilling video from the Big Apple. That's truly horrifying that this is going on in America. Now, how about the latest VAERS numbers posted on the CDC website, which show just under 20,000 deaths related to COVID injections? We know from a Harvard study several years ago that those numbers are vastly underreported, representing only about 1% of the actual deaths. But we do have at least one other government data thread that provides some indications of how many people are dying. According to statistician Steve Kirsch, an estimated 388,000 deaths can be attributed to the COVID shots. This figure comes from whistleblowers within CMS. So our new best estimate of the number of excessive deaths caused by the vaccine is 388,000. Because there isn't a plausible mechanism of excess deaths other than the vaccine, certainly our always vigilant CDC has never suggested an alternative cause. Thus, the process of elimination leads us to conclude the obvious, that these excess deaths were, in fact, caused by the vaccine. Kirsch says this should not be a surprise to anyone paying attention to the clinical trials. He writes, quote, "For example, in the Pfizer trial, you were much more likely to die if you got the vaccine than if you got the placebo. They simply forgot to mention that in the abstract of the paper, and they were incapable of accurately counting the number of deaths in each group as well. In short, the vaccine is a killing machine. As the clinical trial showed, it was more likely to kill you than to save you." America still refuses to actually acknowledge that fact. End quote. In other news, despite the fact that the COVID injections have led to the deaths and injuries of more people than all other vaccines in history, the governments of the world continue to pull out all the stops to get the experimental shots into the arms of every man, woman, and child. Scientists are working overtime to discover new, less threatening methods of injecting the serum into people's bodies. Take, for example, the latest so-called invention from Professor Jonathan Haney at Cambridge University in the UK. Take a look.
The University of Southampton in the UK is trialing a vaccine that uses needle-free technology to ease the delivery of COVID-19 shots. The injection uses a jet of air that pushes the vaccination into the skin, offering a possible alternative to people who fear needle-based shots. The vaccine was created by Professor Jonathan Haney at the University of Cambridge and could be scaled up and manufactured as a powder if the trial is successful.
Eases the delivery? Yeah, jetstream infusion of gene therapy. What will they think of next? Thanks, but no thanks, Professor Haney. The Taliban, remember them? They're sending a message to the world that they've changed. That's right. They're now committed to implementing education and jobs for girls and women, so they say. Taliban leaders have not only suddenly reformed themselves, but they're also asking for more money from the U.S. In fact, billions in U.S. taxpayer-funded foreign aid. I wonder if there's any coincidence there. According to Zero Hedge, the Taliban is asking Western governments to send them $10 billion to help prop up Afghanistan's hardline Islamic regime. The Afghan foreign minister said Afghanistan needs the world's, quote, mercy and compassion, end quote, at a moment when millions are on the brink of starvation and are without jobs and amid a fast plummeting currency. This as they deploy Islamic morality police, by the way, to the streets. This would seem like an ideal opportunity for the Biden regime to leverage the release of those Americans abandoned in Afghanistan under his botched exit back in September. But so far, there's no indication the regime, the Biden regime, plans to hold the Taliban accountable for the fate of those Americans. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all of your support. At MyPillow, we not only have pillows, but we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We're offering the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have this exclusive offer on the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. also have the queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with your promo code. And we have the king size, regularly $89.98, now only $29.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer.
The U.S. House last Tuesday passed an anti-Islamophobia bill weeks after Colorado Republican Representative Lauren Boebert implied that her Muslim Democratic colleague was a terrorist. The bill was led by Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar, the target of Boebert's remarks, and it would create a special envoy to monitor and fight Islamophobia domestically and internationally. It passed 219 to 212 along party lines. WorldNet Daily reports that while Republicans were eager to condemn so-called Islamophobia, many objected to Omar's bill because it did not explicitly define the term Islamophobia. Quote, Democrats voted down an amendment to exclude legitimate criticism of what counts as Islamophobia, end quote. So said Ohio Republican Representative Steve Shabbat. Quote, is it Islamophobic to criticize those who call for the destruction of Israel? What about the Taliban's repression of women or those who deny the Holocaust? End quote. On the international front, Reuters is reporting that Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese Premier Xi Jinping have come to a joint agreement affirming closer ties in the face of rising tensions with the West. In a video call Wednesday, the two leaders underscored how shared hostility to the West is bringing Moscow and Beijing closer together. Quote, at present, certain international forces under the guise of democracy and human rights are interfering in the international affairs of China and Russia and brutally trampling on international law and recognized norms of international relations, end quote. China's state-run news agency quoted the premier of China as saying, quote, China and Russia should increase their joint efforts to more effectively safeguard the security interests of both parties, end quote. Kremlin aide Yuri Ushakov told reporters that the premier of China had offered support to Putin for his push to obtain binding security guarantees for Russia from the West, saying he understood Moscow's concerns. He said the pair also expressed their, quote, negative view, end quote, of the creation of new military alliances, such as the AUKUS partnership between Australia, Britain, and the United States, and the Indo-Pacific Quad of Australia, India, Japan, and the United States. Kroger, which provides groceries to millions of American families, has since the onset of the whole COVID scare been one of the worst corporate violators of its employees' rights to privacy and bodily integrity. Now, the Cincinnati-based company has announced it is ending certain benefits for unvaccinated workers in order to compel its workforce to get injected with the experimental COVID so-called vaccine. The Epoch Times reports that unvaxxed Kroger workers will no longer be eligible to receive up to 2 weeks of paid emergency sick leave if they get sick with COVID. But if they are vaxxed and get COVID, which we know vaccinated people are much more likely to catch the latest Omicron variant, they will have their medical expenses covered by Kroger's insurance policy. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Retailers and shopping channels have canceled myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. To thank you all this Christmas, we want to pass the savings directly on to you. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, mattresses, towels, and so much more. These are the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. This Christmas, I want to offer a message of faith and hope. By the time you're done reading my book, you will believe that with God, all things are possible. For a limited time, you can get my book and your choice of one of these seven amazing MyPillows. This bundle is regularly $59.95, now just $9.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back to the Worldview Report. I'm Brandon House. The Salvation Army asked for more than donations this year. The Christian charitable organization asked all white donors to reflect on their racism this year. After nationwide outrage was expressed by its donors, the Salvation Army is having to reflect on its seriously dire financial position heading into Christmas. The Salvation Army was forced to walk back its politically correct comments about white racism, but its backtracking remarks may have been too little, too late. As the Gateway Pundit reports, Salvation Army kettles are ringing hollow, and the organization is complaining about a severe shortage of toys for children. Now, with the holidays approaching, Fox 13 reports that the toy and donation shortage is dire, but they're not putting the blame where it belongs, on themselves. Instead, they're blaming COVID and the economy. Not only is the nonprofit organization short on donations, they also are in desperate need of bell ringers to staff the red kettles seen at businesses around the country. Perhaps Salvation Army, an organization that exists on the good-hearted charity of others, should think twice next time it gets the urge to insult its donors. And finally tonight, Paul Joseph Watson over at Summit News is reporting that British members of Parliament have been told by experts that a Wuhan lab leak is now, quote, the most likely, end quote, origin of COVID-19, and that there's also a high risk it was, quote, an engineered virus, end quote. Why? Because after 2 years of searching, no animal host for the virus has ever been found. That's the best proof that what the world calls the virus was actually a synthetic pathogen created in a lab. The Telegraph reported on the comments by Dr. Aline Chan, a specialist in gene therapy and cell engineering at MIT and Harvard, who was speaking to the Science and Technology Select Committee. Quote, I think the lab origin is more likely than not. Right now, it's not safe for people who know about the origin of the pandemic to come forward. But we live in an era where there is so much information being stored that it will eventually come out, end quote. She went on to say, quote, we have heard from many top virologists that a genetically engineered origin is reasonable, and that includes virologists who made modifications to the first SARS virus, end quote. She went on to add, quote, we know this virus has a unique feature called the furin cleavage site, and without this feature, there is no way this would be causing this pandemic. She went on to report, quote, a proposal was leaked showing that EcoHealth and the Wuhan Institute of Virology were developing a pipeline for inserting novel furin cleavage sites. So you can find these scientists who said in early 2018, I'm going to put horns on horses. And at the end of 2019, a unicorn turns up in Wuhan City. End quote. Lord Ridley, co-author of a book with Chan, called on bad actors who think that, quote, unleashing a pandemic is something they could get away with, end quote, to be exposed. That's tonight's Worldview Report. Thanks for watching and keep the faith. Take care.